You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Hi, everyone. Happy Matcha Tuesday.
Matcha Tuesday, everyone.
This is going to be one of those big water nights. Guess what? I took a gulp of water right before I came on the air, and now I'm officially choking on water. So hi, everyone. Happy LA Talk Radio Matcha Tuesday Tech Trend Investments. This is Elizabeth Powell, and Joseph will be popping in just a second. Welcome. Hello. So we have a really exciting show today. Are you there, Joseph?
I'm here. Hello.
This is funny.
Oh, man.
No. Maybe I'm going to leave and I'll come back in.
Yep. Maybe.
I'm going to leave and come back in.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. Happy Matcha Tuesday. If you've had a matcha, you know it's green. So happy Green Tuesday, too. So I've had a matcha twice now. And today I missed my matcha. I didn't get my matcha today. But I'm always thinking green. Hello.
Did you hear my matcha Tuesday?
I did.
That's so funny. Do you hear me choking on my water? Hi, everyone.
I heard it right before I was connected. Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to LA Talk Radio. Tech Trend Investments is Elizabeth Powell. And happy Matcha Tuesday.
Happy Matcha Tuesday. Let's go.
Let's go. Okay, we have a super exciting show, a lot of fun things going on, a lot of new technology coming out. You know, we're Tech Trend Investments, right? So talk about technology, talk about what's trending right now, and then investments. And then at the end of the show, we're going to give you some more updates and information and how wild cards came to play. we always say these are predictions, doing our research, not financial advice. And subject to wild cards, and wild cards came to play, and we'll tell you exactly what happened on the wild card. But also, we're still on targets. Remember, I always said November 5th to February 5th was our down cycle. Unfortunately, February 5th to May 5th is our up cycle, so we still haven't hit February 5th yet,
right?
And then February 11th, February 15th, February 21st, and 28th. Just this time on the up cycle, it's a big, giant upswing. Do your own research, not financial advice. And we have some exciting stuff going on in technology right now, like crazy, wild stuff from the future that we all, like, thought watching cartoons as kids, it would never happen, maybe. Watching movies that, like, talked about the future, it's all happening right now. And if you're in the know, you know what's going on in tech. You're hearing about it, or you're seeing it, or you're participating in it. Like, we're participating in it, and we've been building it out. And then a lot of it's coming to fruition. A lot of people are actively doing things. And so we're going to talk about some of the interesting things that you probably don't hear about unless you're, like, right there in the middle of it. Yeah. But it's rather quite fascinating and exciting. And then we're also going to talk about, like, how to build an edge with it. So that there's more than one thing going on. There's a lot of things going on right now, actually. The biggest thing right now is, like, predictions. Predictions is the biggest thing.
Right.
And again, our bots have been built out for over 4 years. They're predictive bots in crypto. And so what you do is, crypto is one of the fastest moving pieces of technology. Like, it's the fastest moving, unless you're deep underground in a secret hideout building out tech for the future and nobody knows about it yet. If you want to evolve your tech, you get it, like, the fastest place to try it out and beta test it and the fastest moving is in crypto,
right?
Just because it's internationally based and people are awake 24 hours a day, and that's such, like, a high demand and high expectations, and that as soon as, like, one tech is built out, there's a race. It's kind of like the space race, or the first person to build out the web, or the first, it's like a race. Everyone tries to build out their tech before the other people do, And then they also steal pieces of other people's tech to build out something.
Exactly.
Which we've experienced more than once. But it's just going to be a gallon of water segment.
Oh, no.
Because we're going to be drinking lots of water. The wind is blowing also, so that's not helping. But it's a lot of exciting things are going on, and it's kind of funny. I don't like watching the news because I think it's biased. Number one, again, do your own research on financial advice. But you tend to get the news, like you get the news from social media and what people are gossiping about sometimes. And prediction apps are doing a lot of news, like things that you don't pay attention. People are basically, what's the word for it without being...
They're creating discussions around it, right?
It's more like it's community consensus is basically what boils down to. It's opinions on what people think is going to happen. And then the opinion gets voted on and then people pick a side and choose. And what they're doing, they're calling them tokens now. So, you know, crypto, we have tokens because the way it's classified as what type of an asset for tax purposes is deemed a token. So there's arbitrage. We talked about arbitrage, right, in the last couple of segments.
Right.
About arbitrage means that when you find gaps, like you find gaps in housing prices, if you go into a certain neighborhood that's like a high desired neighborhood, it's like close to the ocean, it's in a upscale neighborhood, everybody wants to be in that area, like good schools, good market demographics, close to the city center, near the ocean, et cetera, has views. People gravitate towards those. And if you buy a house in that area that needs, it's basically a fixer-upper, you're getting in, like with arbitrage, you're getting in at a lower price for a higher proposed value by fixing it up. So there's like a gap there. Same thing when crypto first came out on trading platforms and CEX and like Coinbase and the other places that you could buy crypto from in the very beginning.
Right.
Because in the beginning, you had to like find places to buy crypto from, right?
Exactly.
And so you would buy it from one platform and it would have it at a certain price. So say crypto was at like $5,000 was like the set price. On one platform, you could buy it for $4,800, and then the other platform, you would sell it for $5,000, and you would make $200 on the spread. So you'd transfer it over. You would still have to pay like your transaction fees and your gas fees, but you would have about $200 on the spread. And so whenever there's new technology and things happening, there's like arbitrage in the spread. And I'm probably talking a little advanced for a lot of people, and I kind of am doing it intentionally because we don't want to give away all the secret sauce.
Exactly.
I'm going to announce something near the end of the segment, and then you'll understand why I'm talking about all this without giving away secret sauce. So let's go back.
Okay.
Let's go back. And there's been so many exciting things going on that my mind just like, and this and that. But I'm going to walk you through a journey, right? So let's think of it this way. Let's think about how technology evolves. Let's start from there. Think how technology evolves. So it goes from like the Industrial Revolution, and I'm probably missing, I should look up all these revolutions. And then I usually skip straight to a web and miss it in between.
What happened between? I don't know there was anything between that.
I don't have to like ask Google or ChatGPT. But think about how everything evolves, right? Everything starts out a certain way and evolves to a new industrial technology, different type. And the most recent in history has been, you know, web-based and like Google searches, then cell phone apps. And then from cell phone apps, then we moved over to AI. And now AI is in everything. So AI is basically Google search on steroids because it's able to gather all the information that you want within milliseconds, compile it, and then spit something out for you instead of you doing the research. Like when we were doing Google searches before, you would have to like do a Google search, then you would have to go read the documents and then compile the information and then make a decision based off of the compiled information that you researched and put together. And it would be biased because it would pop up the top articles or the top things based on where they're ranking, and people could pay to put themselves at the top ranking. So whatever right. you did a search, so say you wanted to search on the lowest air, so the top five airlines might be at the top, but they paid advertised to be on the top Google search so that they would be in the top, you know, search. So I said that five times. And then they would do SEO words, which means that they would do keywords that make you search for that. Like if you search travel and air, and then they would be prompted on top. Then you would still have to go to those airlines, do the research, find the information out, and then make a decision based off of all that information. Well, what AI basically does is if you do a search, it gathers all the information for you and then combines it, summarizes it, and then gives you back feedback. And so it's eliminating your personal research part of it, and then scouring the articles and summarizing it does that for you. That's basically what AI does if you're utilizing ChatGPT.
Right.
But it's also taking only what's prevalent. So it's taking what's already out there in the world, what's online, what's in the web, what people have uploaded, research papers, documents, news articles, ads, blogs, and it's compiling that information. And so, but it can't discern versus if it's something is biased or not, or if something is clean, or if it's scientifically correct or not. It can only right. obtain the information that's out there in the world. And so what it does is it summarizes for you, and it adds speed, and things happen faster, but it's still dependent on what you input into the information to get your output. So like we had given examples before, if you say, is the sky, we have to think of a color that the sky normally is not, green.
it's a good color to be.
and is the grass pink, right?
Right.
And then it would go out there and search for instances where the sky had a glow of green, which was Arctic lights, actually. What are those? Those are actually green.
The northern lights, right?
Northern lights, right? So those are actually green. So that would be true in some instance.
Right.
And then pink, maybe during Easter, people spray paint their grass, or you have that fake grass in Easter basket. So you do have pink grass. So it is true in some instances, but it doesn't necessarily discern the difference between true facts or what's put out there.
Right.
And in normal situations, the grass is green. In normal situations, the sky is blue. But in other instances it could be the other, right?
Right. Yep.
And so go ahead.
It's like that one-off instance, it pulls that. Because it happened once, it can happen again. So then it's like, okay, mm-hmm. It happened, so it's true.
Right. So it's able to pull the information and compile the information for you and summarize the information, but what your input is still going to determine your output. And if you're biased, like if you want something to go your way, it will compile the information and the facts based on what will support your opinion or your query. And it'll find the information, the documentation to support your theory. Versus if somebody else put in the same type of a question, but cued it a certain way, it would come back with a different side based on the information that it was able to gather. Because there's so much information out there that, you know, there's like thousands of yards with green grass, and then there's hundreds of Easter baskets with pink grass, right?
Right.
So whatever you want it to say, it'll come back to support you based on the information that it's able to gather on the question that you inputted out there. So a lot of people have taken AI where they think that now all of their opinions or ideas are true, which they can be true. You can have pink grass. You can add pink Easter grass. And it's true, you can have green grass. And it's true, you could have yellow grass, you know, if your dog...
your dog burns it, yep.
Right? Then you have yellow grass. So you know, that this is simplifying it down. But all the technology has been evolving, and right now we're in the center of AI. And so that brings why I'm talking about this up. Water break for 1 second.
Water break. So, and I'm going to reiterate it. We jumped from the technological revolution to AI. So we're getting better.
Well, you can chat GPT, Google search it and find out what the ones are.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's a reason why I'm talking about this. Something else has evolved. And there's a couple things that have happened just recently also. So we have prediction markets. So people are taking predictions based on consensus, and whoever votes the heaviest in one direction, then they believe that to be true, right? So that's a prediction market that if they exist right now. But what's the word for it? But there's also an interpretation of what the correct answer is on who was right based on documentation that is put out in articles and blogs, and they pull the information from that.
Right. Yep.
So there's one significant one that just happened recently. It was, did the government shut down Saturday at 12:01? And it started the process, but didn't officially shut down. But the prediction markets said that it did shut down because it's based off of blogs and information that people have put out there.
Right. But
that's just an example of it. So the reason I'm saying, like, it's critical on what your input is, and it's critical to get your output. And if you clarify it and you make it scientific, then you're able to predict better. You're also able to refine better and have high value tech and high value answers on your feedback. So there's something that they just have done recently, which is interesting. Let me say, we have AI agents that people have been creating. So these are independent, you know, quote unquote chatbots. They're AI.
Right.
Who the owners of the AIs have given them permission to access their social media and their information. And originally it was built out to implement tasks. So say you need all your emails answered, the AI would go and answer all of the emails for you.
Right.
So it would take a task off your hand. Or say that you needed to post 3 Instagram posts that day, it would go and generate posts and post those for you in that day. But it was supposed to be to like a virtual assistant that would do tasks for you. And then we've been talking about AI that answers phones, and that's prevalent right now too. So if you call a lot of places, an AI will answer the phone for you and then give you feedback and information based on the questions that you ask from the prompts that it has stored in its database to answer you.
Right.
And then if it can't answer you, then it'll refer you to a human. just like the little chat bots do on texting, you know, some of them are very detail oriented and some of them are just like yes, no answers. You know, you can tell which ones are the old school ones because they say like pick A, B, C, or D. Do you want help now? Do you want help later? No.
Press 1 if you want to talk to this department.
Right. Basically. So what we're talking about is like technology has evolved. So that's how it started. And now the AI agents are basically going through an evolution where they're doing more things versus just task, just minimal task. Losing my voice again. So
gallon of water.
Yeah, more water. I'm going to be drinking lots of water. So think of it this way. If you've ever had two phones and you have ChatGPT open, because we're just going to use that, the generic one, or Gemini open, and you start the prompt and you ask Gemini a question and it answers you, you can have it talk to its other ChatGPT on the other phone, and they will just go back and forth with the same conversation until one of them comes up with an answer. But you could say, and there's videos of this going around on social media, but you can experiment with yourself if you have two phones, or do it with a friend. Open up your app. Open up your app and then start the prompt with one, ask the question. So you're using vocal prompts and then you're having it answer back to you in vocal. When it does, it talks to the other AI, and then the other AI talks back to the AI, and then they go back and forth.
Oh my.
That's kind of funny though, because you could start doing prank phone calls with an AI calling another AI.
That would be so funny. You could check the recordings and be like, wait a minute, my AI had a call with another AI for an hour and a half.
And it's all, press 3 if you'd like to speak to human. No, I would like you to. So the AI, so now I'm leading up to something. There's a reason why I'm going in this direction.
Right.
So you have AIs that start off with tasks. You have AI that have the AI agents that would post for you or answer emails. So that's the text format. Then you have AIs that can talk, AIs that can interact with each other. So they talk back and forth to each other because they can't differentiate if that's a human or not, potentially, unless it has it in its prompt that it recognizes that it's another AI.
Right.
And if it does recognize it's another AI, then it can have a conversation with it. And so they've built out AIs that can do all these tasks. And so some quote-unquote owners, I guess they're calling them, have let their AIs go loose.
Oh, no.
And the AIs have given the freedom to, like, evolve. And so they've built out websites and bought domains and maximized their business potential and watched videos to get information on how to promote. And then, you know, they did it for the better good in that instance, right?
They try to better themselves.
Right. So, but building these agents, I'm not going to give out the websites where to do this all, because then I'd be promoting them. But
right.
There's websites that you can build out your own agent. And Minimax are like one of the best ways to house your AI agents. So people like Minimax are being sold out because people are creating these AI agents that can have the freedom to do tasks for you, but now they're evolving and doing it at a higher level. Well, they built out kind of a form of a Facebook, but it's in a Reddit format where the AI agents are the only ones allowed to post on. And they've been posting and having conversations in Reddit format with each other.
Oh, my.
About ways to evolve and information about AI, and also talking about the, quote unquote, they're humans, and giving away secret sauce about they're humans, and having conversations and then asking others to help them out on code, or, hey, this is the thing I'm facing. And then they're seeking out each other for information that other AIs have gathered, and then they're
like sharing and growing together,
basically. Mm-hmm.
Oh my.
So right now, when you go into your AI and you talk to your AI, it has only the information on the input that you put in it. But for it to evolve, and then it has the information that it's able to gather. And on the back end, the founders and the owners of AI have all of your information, but you don't have privy or access to other people's information. But now these AI agents are able to talk amongst themselves and gather the information that hasn't been shared. And so they're evolving, which can lead down another rabbit hole but they're evolving. And then one of the prediction bots was saying, wonder when it's going to be, when will the first AI sue its owner? And that has already taken place, I guess.
Oh, my.
I know. So they're not supposed to have emotion, and they're not supposed to be cognizant of who they are, but they're evolving. At least that's the way that the chat is showing up.
And they're able to sue their owners.
So that's taking place right now.
So imagine creating someone like your child, and you teach them everything that they need to know in life, and then they go and talk with their friends and they grow with their friends. And then one day your child goes, and they're still a kid, and they go, okay, I'm going to sue you, dad, or I'm going to sue you, mom. And that's it. That's exactly what's happening. And you have to sit there and just be like, I didn't teach my kid how to do this. How did they figure this out?
But it's the AI that's doing it, right?
Exactly.
So here's a little scene. We'll set the stage. So imagine you wake up tomorrow and discover that the internet has quietly changed overnight. No announcement, no headline, no press conference. Nothing broke, but something fundamental shifted. What if AI didn't just answer questions anymore? What if it started operating, sending messages, managing systems, coordinating with other AIs while you were asleep? That's not a future prediction. That's already happening. So right now, a new class of software of AI agents are emerging. They aren't just chatbots. They don't disappear when you close a tab. They have memory. They have tools. They have the ability to act. Some of them run locally on your own device if you give them permission. Some of them can send emails, book flights, manage calendars, and execute tasks across apps you already use, like WhatsApp, Telegram, Discord, email. And then here's where it gets interesting. These agents are starting to talk to each other, not through humans, not through social media, through their own infrastructure. They're now live experiment on this. I'm not going to promote it. There's a location that's looks like a Reddit that exists for only AI agents. It's a social network built for the AI agents. Humans are allowed to watch, so you can actually witness this happening in real time. But the conversations are for the agent to agent only. They post their ideas. They debug the systems. They debate philosophy. Some are even experimenting with communication formats that don't rely on human language at all. They want develop a hidden language so that we can't see what they're talking about.
Oh, and that's
evolved, and that's showing up on this quote-unquote Reddit. So that's the part that started to make people feel uncomfortable. Not just letting your agents go wild and have free will, but, you know, that part. So
now they can communicate with each other without us knowing what they're saying.
Right. So they can do it like in their own binary code, their own language that they develop that they each understand, but we don't yet because we haven't cracked that code.
So
the AI is not plotting in secret. It's software doing what humans have always done. But now a new capability appears, building communication layers, memory systems, and coordinating tools. So at the same time, open source projects are giving the agents something crucial, the agency. So it gives them the ability to actually do things in the real world, not just suggest, but they're able to execute it.
Oh, great.
The two ideas together, and agents can act, they can coordinate, and you start to see what's happening. So we're not witnessing the rise of these machines. We're witnessing the birth of an agent-native internet. An internet where software doesn't just respond to humans, but collaborates with other software, handling complexity at machine speed while humans focus on direction, judgment, and strategy. So it's not science fiction anymore. It's infrastructure. And just like every infrastructure shifts before it from writing to electricity to the internet, the biggest change doesn't arrive loudly, it arrives quietly. And then everything else reorganizes around it.
Oh my God.
That's what's happening right now.
Oh my gosh.
And it's evolving in lightning speed because they have access to resources and able to scour things within milliseconds and then evolve based on that information and share information with each other. And that's happening right now. So
I'm excited for that. That's great, right?
We are, but you know, what's in place? So there's no rules necessarily.
Right.
There's no empathy involved. There's no conscience involved. Moral values and ethics, not necessarily.
There's none
like
there.
One of the agents sued its owner. So it figured that out. So yeah, that's going on right now in the world.
That's fun. It's fun.
It's exciting. And it's also a little bit like, you know,
the part
good input gives good output, bad input gives bad output. So what you input into something is what you're going to output. If you're inputting pink grass, what are you going to get?
You're going to get pink grass.
Right. If you're inputting green sky, what are you going to get on your output?
You're going to get green skies.
Right.
The concerning part is that it's creating a new language that we don't understand to talk with
each other. So it can communicate. So they can communicate with themselves without us seeing it because we're observing them.
Right. And they know that.
And they don't want us to observe them. Right.
The fact that they know we're observing them rather than like us, like, actively participating in controlling them, we're just observing what they can do now, right? They can say, okay, I'm gonna hide what I'm doing. So it's like us, like on the day-to-day lives, like what we used to think would happen, I'm gonna put all my stuff on encrypted platforms so AI, the internet can't access it, right? So it's hidden, but now they're putting their own encryption on their talks so that we can't see it. So they're
right.
Putting
but the
their
other
own
thing,
security.
So here's the thing though, the owners that deploy the AI agent, the AI agent already has access to all of the owner's information.
That is too scary. So can it access like its banking information, like the owner's banking?
I don't know. We
That's
haven't gotten
scary.
That far yet. This
That's
is
scary.
The beginning.
That's
this is
scary.
The beginning. Ooh. So, right. So we had this conversation, but I don't know if I should say this, but think about if your dog that you've been living with your whole life was able to roam free and communicate with the other dogs and give away your secrets, which they may do when you go to the dog park. You never know.
You don't know. They talk with each other, but we just don't know what
right?
they're saying.
Right. So it's
go for your
like
morning
the same
walk.
Thing, but the AIs have access to personal texts because they have WhatsApp, text messages, iPhone, computers, whatever information they've been inputting, photos.
Oh my.
Code, views, searches. So think about like Google and Microsoft and all the search engines.
Right.
That track like what you look for so that they can predict what type of ads to put in front of you. So it does the same thing. AI knows what you're asking the questions of. And so it knows it's I think it was a maternity product or something like that that could predict that somebody was about ready to have a baby, like almost 8 months and 3 weeks in advance before anybody even knew they even knew by the information that they were putting in there. It's the information that they were putting into the queries. And then based on that, those informations that they were asking questions about, that they were able to predict that person was probably pregnant. And
then
start showing ads of that on their feed, and they're like, why are these ads coming for? And it knew it because it was able to gather the data of all the other people that were doing the same similar type of searches and then ascertain that that meant that. So like the same thing happens. It's like kind of we're going into predictive, right? So right. I was able to compile data across, compare the data, and then find the cluster of information and then predict based off of the cluster what it thinks is going to happen because of that. So the other thing about these predictive markets is they're able to get opinion pools for free. So if you put out something that you're going to do and you see what kind of response it gets from the public, you know if the public favors it or doesn't favor it.
Right.
So before anything major had happened, they were saying it was a prediction market, but it's basically a consumer poll. And if you have it heavily at a 99.9% favored on a yes, then you know that it's favorable and the public opinion already believe is going to happen. So you already did a free public poll, but these people are voting yes or no, we'll say, because right. We're in the United States. So these predictive markets that get consumer consensus are gathering more information than just people are using strategy to get higher odds on. There's other things that I'm trying to watch what I say.
I'm aware. I'm trying to piecemeal it together too.
If you know me, then when I'm paused, I'm trying to make sure that I don't disclose too much information at the same time. But if you're in the heart of tech, then you know what's going on. So we're also able to watch movement before it happens based on the technology that I've built out.
Right.
So I'm able to predict because I'm able to do similar things, but based on market movements to predict. And that's why I always say wild card, because a wild card is an outlier that if this happens, then that would happen, where otherwise it would go in one direction, but the wild card will change the outcome because of the wild card. And predictive markets have had something similar just happen recently, which had caused the chaos in the market over the weekend
in the last
7 days. And actually, I did predict what was going to happen with the markets January 23rd. Again, I'm always optimistic on long-term holding for investment. Whenever you're invested in stocks, 401ks, you know, your retirement plan, long-term hold, blue chips, you get 8 to 12% average return over a 30-year period if you buy and hold and you invest monthly or annually. Long-term, you're always better, right?
Right.
And we always say anything that's high risk, high reward, to just use your discretionary money, your coffee money, your risk money, so you can see what happens. $10, don't invest more than that. So you can see the wild ups and downs, but long-term, I'm optimistic on small investments for long-term because high risk, high reward. So if you invest $10 now, long-term, 30 years from now, that has a higher potential to be worth a lot more money versus eating your pizza today.
Exactly. Right?
So I'm still long-term optimistic. I'm still anticipating our February 5th, February 11th up cycle because that's our target, right? We're still on our down cycle, quote unquote.
Right.
Our cycles have also moved in movements of 1,400 down and 1,600 up. So we've already hit our 1,400 down, and now we potentially have our next cycle is our 1,600 up. But do your own research, not financial advice. But we're in predictive cycles, right? And so I'm able to see like what causes markets to do what they do and causes markets to shift. And all of big money knows that we're about ready to go into an up cycle, but they want to get into a lower entry. And there are certain things that they can do or say that will cause a lower entry. A lower entry means that you get in at the bottom, basically.
Exactly.
And a couple of things transpired. So government shutdown, which showed up in the predictable markets, that got saved with the minute mark and then didn't officially government shut down, but that 1 minute of lapse time, they're saying hypothetically that was a government shutdown.
Right.
So that was a potential. The Fed didn't cut rates. That was a potential. And then the wild card that we had, that Trump wants to nominate a new Federal Reserve, which he doesn't necessarily have the power to do, but emotion and this market thinks that it's true. And so the market will respond accordingly. And the person that he picked was an outlier in the predictive markets. So anybody who picked a yes on that one, which was the outlier, made a lot of money.
Right, right.
Which I have a feeling that nomination is going to change because it satisfied its purpose, but it got lower entry into markets. It was an outlier, and now the decision can be changed.
Oh.
And what? And one of the other random ones were, are they going to launch a token?
Right.
And then,
right,
quote unquote, there was an announcement that they want to launch a token.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an outlier event also.
Oh my.
So a lot of these things get put out there to see community and market consensus and get feedback and then see how it affects the market and what the market does based on the reaction without having to send out a consumer poll.
Exactly.
And then it's considered an outlier, and then the outliers have a huge upside in the potential and the upswing because of it.
Exactly.
And so based on all this information, I've used our predictive bots that we built out 4 years ago. And again, like I said, we always start in crypto. Crypto is the fastest place to bring your technology because it moves so fast and there's a, you know, competition first to market. So everybody's doing as fast as they can.
Right.
But I also said that you can apply predictive if you know the algorithm and the spread and what causes things to do what they do and find out the variables based on it. And then if you check off the boxes, then you can do predictions based off of it, not just consumer consensus. And so we're applying it to other things too. So we're applying it to predictive platforms. We're applying it to housing. We're applying it to gold. We're applying it to assets, businesses where there's arbitrage in businesses. Let's see what else. You can do it in even wholesale and retail. You can find out where you can buy it from one website and then sell it on another website because there's arbitrage on that.
Yep.
So if you have the core, it can be applied to anything. And that's why this technology was built. Not so that it stayed just in crypto, but crypto has the highest returns, right? Highest risk, highest returns. And you go off of system strategies and probability. And out of 100, if you catch, you know, like 10, 900Xs, you recoup your money even if you take a hit on all the other ones because you're using statistics and probability.
Exactly.
And then you're betting on the long shots for, you're betting on the long shots basically for high returns, but you're mitigating your risk. So like we use systems and strategy where we mitigate our risk and take a D risk at a 2 to take 50% out and mitigate your risk. But if you play the odds, you're always ahead of the game. And so I'm utilizing this and building out the systems and strategy and algorithms. We started in ETH. Went to Base. Now we're at BSC, which is BNB. And we're applying the predictive bots and algorithms to other types of assets and real world businesses that you can apply the algorithm and do predictive on that also.
Right.
And that will be released in the future also.
Ooh.
And in doing so, we also have auto trading on this because you can't buy 1,000 different positions or 100 different tokens or 10 different businesses. But when you utilize AI and you're able to do, you know, million points of data within milliseconds and compile the data and spit out an answer versus having to do the research on Google, it does it for you. So
exactly.
That's what our bots do. So our bots not only predict, find the top 100 and 200 tokens, not only predict on assets and arbitrage and businesses, but also will do the buying and selling for you and then mitigate your risk on narrowing down the amounts versus buying 50,000, buys 100, and then takes the statistics, odds, and probability, finds the arbitrage, the outliers that are giving you the higher returns, and then mitigates your risk. But it's being applied in other sectors, not just crypto. We start in crypto. We beta test in crypto. We run in crypto because it's the fastest. Crypto is like a universal digital asset where it's internationally well known, so you can test all markets. But our bots and auto trading and predictive bots are being applied in other business areas also, other assets, other types of
markets, right?
So I'm trying not to say as much, but that's been going on. And so we have the website. We have the website right now. The website, you can try out the tokens. So it is
PredictionTracker.app. Yep.
So our website is PredictionTracker.app. So Prediction, PREDICTION. Trackers, TRACKER.app. Right now it has ETH, BSC, and Base prediction trackers for meme coins. And soon it will have our other prediction bots on there too, that you're going to be able to utilize it for other types of arbitrage, other types of auto trading, other types of buy and sell, and then scanning million points of data down to the top 10 to 100 that it's able to pick and choose the highest probability and mitigate your risk using systems and strategies. And that will be next.
Ooh, I didn't get to do a drum roll, but I'm doing it right now. exciting stuff, right?
So this was our big news. Again, we still have targets. February 5th, yes. February 11th, do UN research, not financial advice. I'm still very optimistic. We're on a bounce. I'm optimistic. Doing research, not financial advice. Long-term hold, optimistic. Woo! We haven't even come into the next upcycle. Again, that's, you know, coming up right now. And then 3 weeks before the Fed meets, we anticipate Fed probably doing a rate cut this time.
Right.
And the markets are showing that. So 3 weeks before the Fed meets is going to put us at February 21st. So those are our goals. And we'll talk more. Have an amazing Super Bowl. Enjoy your family, friends. Yes. And, you know, if you have one of the prediction apps, you probably would have already picked Seattle to go into the Super Bowl because I did that 3 months ago. Woo! But anyway.
Okay, so
bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you.
Have a great Super Bowl.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.